Well, the sermon I had prepared for that Sunday morning, I shelved it because it was really a Sunday morning sermon. And being a Wednesday night crowd, I wanted to bring something more appropriate. And being a Bible or a prayer night, I wanted to bring a lesson on prayer. You know, prayer, it's one of the greatest blessings and privileges that the Christian has. And we should always, always be thankful that we can go to God in prayer. And He hears and He answers according to His will. Now, I have four rules when I pray. Number one, I do not pray too long. In fear that I'll fall asleep, then when I wake up, I'll forget where I was at and I have to start all over again. Or I don't pray too short because I'm afraid that the Lord is listening to somebody else's prayers that are more needy than mine, and when He finally gets to me, I'm already done. I don't pray too frivolously. Is that right, Miss Jones? Frivolously? Or is it just frivolous? Well, I would ask the Lord, but I figured you'd give me a quicker answer. But I don't pray too frivolously because I'm afraid He'll take me seriously. And I don't pray for too much because I'm afraid He'll give it to me and I don't know what I would do with it in the first place. Which reminds me of a young girl who was praying one morning, and she got up and she started praying. She said, "Lord, I am not going to pray for myself this morning. I'm going to pray for everybody else's needs that I'm aware of." And so she began praying. She prayed for this friend and that friend. She prayed for the pastor, and she prayed for Sunday school teacher, and so on and so forth, various people in the churches. Finally, when she's getting ready to finish up, she says, "Oh, and Lord, I want to pray for my mother, that You would give her a good son-in-law." In a town of Port Hope, Canada, there stands a monument. But it's not for a leading citizen of that community or somebody who did some great deed for that town, but rather it's for just a kind of an ordinary fellow, but yet he did some great things in that town for other people, and he served them well. Joseph Scriven was born in Dublin in 1820. In his youth, he was very respected by the community, had a lot of potential, and it looked like things were really going to work out for that young man. And he was engaged to a very pretty girl. But on the night before their wedding, she accidentally drowned in a local pond. And he just couldn't get over that. And so he just started wandering around, trying to forget, trying to find his way in life. He ended up in Canada in a small town where he spent the last 46 years of his life. While there, he became a very devout, faithful Christian in the local church. And he would serve widows, and he would serve poor people, and he would serve people who had needs. And he was just there every time somebody had a need, and he would be there Johnny on the spot. And most of the time, he never got paid for it. Nobody was aware that he had a great talent as a poet until on his deathbed, his friend was sitting there with him. And his friend looked down on the nightstand and he saw a piece of paper. And he picked it up and began reading it and realized right away that it was a very, very good poem that this man had written to his mother. So after his friend passed away, Mr. Scrivens passed away, he took that poem to another friend who put it to music. It's become one of the most well-known hymns and songs in Christianity. As a matter of fact, most missionaries will teach this hymn to their people that they're in their congregations, the first song that they'll teach them. It's one of the top 10 hymns according to the Pew Foundation. It goes like this. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6 tonight. We're going to be looking at a lesson that the Lord taught during His Sermon on the Mount on prayer. Now, were you aware that Jesus taught His disciples more about prayer than He did preaching? We don't find any lessons on preaching that He gave to them during His time with them here on earth. But several instances He did teach them how to pray. And in looking at this lesson, these verses, we see some very important things that we can draw from it to help us in our prayer lives, our personal prayer lives. And I pray that you do have one. Not just on Sundays, not before meals, but every day you approach the throne of God in a spirit of faithfulness in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, being led of the Holy Spirit to do so. That ought to be your goal, is to speak to God every day because it's your right and it's your privilege. Now, when Jesus entered the city of Jerusalem, He immediately went into the temple. And looking around, He saw that things were a mess. And He began overturning tables of the money changers and chasing out those who were selling the lambs and the birds and the things needed for the sacrifices. And it says He cleansed the temple that day. But He also made a very profound statement. And He taught, saying unto them, Is it not written, My house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer? Quoting Isaiah 56 and Jeremiah 7. But ye, the very people who should have been the closest to God of anybody on the face of the earth, the Jew, the Israelites, the Pharisees, the scribes and the priests, and all those that served in the temple and worked in the temple, they should have been the ones closest to God. But He said, you've made it a den of thieves, when it should have been a house of prayer. Now, the Bible tells us that you and I as Christians, children of God, are temples of God who are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. So I believe we should be houses of prayer as well. But not just at certain times. The Bible tells us to pray without ceasing. Always to be praying for the things that God would have us to pray for. And the things that we see people having needs for. And even our own needs as well. But when we allow things to distract us from having a vital prayer life, we become thieves as well. We rob ourselves of the blessings of God that He really, really, really desires for us to have. He wants to bless us, folks. But by robbing Him of our prayers and our requests, we forego those things, those blessings that He has for us. But more importantly than that, when we fail to pray, we do not glorify the Lord. And we show a lack of faith in our spiritual life, in our endeavors for the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone says prayer can do anything God can do. And God can do anything. I read where a famous preacher one time said he was sitting in his study reading the scriptures and meditating on them. And he said a very profound thought came to his mind all at once. He said it was the Holy Spirit speaking to him, his spirit. And he says, this thought was so profound but yet so simple, I was afraid to share it with anybody else. But nevertheless, he did. He said, this is the thought God gave me that day as I was praying and meditating. God hears prayers and answers them. Now, isn't that profound? Amen. But yet so simple. God hears prayers and answers. Failing to pray denies us from God's help. And folks, that's a tragedy. That's a tragedy. Failure to pray is more than a tragedy. According to 1 Samuel 12:2, it says it's a sin. When we don't pray, it's a sin, Samuel says. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. Knowing to do right and not doing it is a sin. Knowing that we ought to be praying and knowing what to pray for, being led of the Holy Spirit to do so, when we fail to do it, it is a sin against God. With those thoughts in mind, I want us to look at the scriptures found in Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 9. Now, we all know that this is commonly known as the Lord's Prayer, although it is not. The true Lord's Prayer is found in John chapter 17, where we find him praying for the apostles and then praying for us who would believe on him through their words, which is us. All Christians, all believers, Jesus has prayed for. Shouldn't we pray as well? But this is just a model prayer because he says, in this manner or in this way. Beginning in verse 9, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. When Jesus spoke those words, he was teaching his disciples on prayer. And this is a model prayer. He says, in this manner, or pray this way. He's not saying pray these words, which people do. People pray the Lord's Prayer everywhere you can think of, seeming like it's a mystical or magical formula to get something from God that they desire. But it's not. This is just a form or a manner of prayer that God is teaching his people to pray or how to pray. Now, just before this, he tells them how not to pray as a hypocrite, simply to be heard and seen. And that's too many prayers, isn't it? Jennifer was telling me tonight on the way to church that one time at work at the hospital, they were having some kind of special event, and they were asking different people to pray. And they asked her if she would be the one of those to pray for this event, whatever's going on. And she was the last one to pray, and she noticed that everybody before her was reading their prayer. Reading their prayer. Not preparing a prayer, she just got up there and gave her what she felt in her heart. Prayed for this occasion. I think it was during the COVID, wasn't it? Prayed for it. Prayed about it. Asking God's help and God's blessing. And then she said amen and sat down. Well, after that, several preachers, chaplains, came up to her and they said, that was a lovely prayer. Where did you get it? We never saw you reading a word of it. Where did you get that beautiful prayer? And she said, from my heart. Amen. And they just couldn't believe it. They prayed as hypocrites. to be heard and to be seen and to be noticed and to be thought of something that they really were not. He tells them not to pray with vain repetitions. And that's exactly what people do with this, what they call the Lord's Prayer. Repeat it over and over and over and over again at ball games, at school functions, and a lot of places where the Lord's Prayer is prayed. Now, I did a Google search on where the actual, this prayer, this model prayer actually got its name, the Lord's Prayer, and nobody gave me a sufficient answer. The only thing I could find was that goes way back when it was added to the Catholic Catechism and given the name of the Lord's Prayer. And I suppose that's where it got its name. But this prayer is simply a model. It's not to be seen or heard or to be repeated over and over and over again, mostly by people who aren't even saved and know not God, but just to be seen. I read a story of a young lawyer who had just passed the bar exam, and he was opening his brand new legal office. And he was sitting there at his brand new desk, trying to look all sufficient and, you know, smart and legal-like, and of course there's nobody around, but he heard a knock on his door, and he quickly grabbed the phone receiver and put it up to his ear. And he said, "Come in." And then he began talking into the phone, you know, sounding real legal-like and real smart and real powerful and somebody you would really trust with your legal affairs. And finally he hung the phone up and he says, "Yes, sir, what can I do for you?" He said, "Sir, I'm from the phone company. I came to hook your phone up." Too many prayers are just to be seen or heard. Amen. Too many Christians are just like that. But this verse simply tells us what manner to pray in as a good example. Probably ought to be called the model prayer instead of the Lord's Prayer. But let's look at it. I've got 6 points and about 10 minutes to preach them. So hang on. Now, first thing we see here concerning prayer, Jesus is teaching us that there's a person involved. Our Father, which art in heaven. You and I as Christians who have been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, who have been born again and given a new life, an eternal life, hope of eternal life with Jesus Christ and God in heaven, we don't speak to statues, rock statues. We came up here on this street that goes out on 78 and that by that Buddhist conglomeration of statues there, and they're just sitting there. And they got flowers and fruit and all kinds of things sitting in front of them. Folks, they don't hear a word you're saying. They cannot move. They cannot speak. And they certainly cannot help. But you and I have a Father to pray for. But not everyone has that right, do they? Only those who have trusted in Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, been born again and become the children of God, the sons and the daughters of God, have the right to go to His throne and speak to their Heavenly Father. Now, I grew up in a single-parent home, as most of you know. My father left when I was 3 years old, so I didn't have the benefit of a father that I could go to and talk to and request things from and try to be helpsome with some other things and problems I was having. But I did have a grandfather, so that helped somewhat. But I didn't really have a father to help me grow up. But when I was 19 years old, I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And from that time on, I had a father I could go to anytime, anywhere I was, no matter what my situation, no matter what my help, I could go to my father and cry out to him, "Father, Father, Abba, Father, Daddy, Father, I need your help with this." You know what? He never turned me down. He has never turned me down. He didn't run off from me. But he's been with me all these years, right with me, present with me. And I can depend upon him. The world says we're all the children of God, don't they? After all, we're his creation. But only those who have come to him by faith through Jesus Christ and have been given the power and the authority to become the sons of God have the right to pray to God. John 16:23, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. 1 Timothy 2:5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, that man Christ Jesus. Folks, we don't talk to stones, wood, animals, or any such thing. We talk to a living God. And he hears our prayers. And he answers them according to his will. Secondly, we see a purpose here in this prayer. What is it? Thy will be done. Too many people try to get their will in front of God and him match his will to it. But that's not the idea in prayer, folks. His will be done. We are to seek and secure the Father's will and then pray about it. 1 John 5:14, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything, how? According to his will, he heareth us. Some will say, that's too restricting. That leaves a whole lot of people out. Well, you're right. But it's not restricting for the child of God, who have a heavenly Father that hears and answers our prayers and is right there when we need him. It's not restricting at all. That's like saying a minnow is restricted by the Atlantic Ocean. If anything, it's greater receiving the blessings of God that he has for us and desires to pour out upon us. But if we never talk to him and ask him, we'll never receive him. Prayer is not us trying to bend God to fit our will, but to find his will and then ask him for it. Now, how do we do that? How do we find his will? Well, it's in the book, for one thing. Dad, how do I raise my children? Well, it's in the book. How do I run my home? Well, son, it's in the book. How do I work with these people who hate you and despise you and want nothing to do with me? Well, it's in the book. If it's not in here, it's not God's will. That's the problem with religions. They add things to it that has no business being there, and they claim it to be the Word of God, when all reality is nothing but foolishness. This is the will of God. Coupled with the leading of the Holy Spirit who does indwell us, we know what the will of God is, or we can find it out. Our God does not say, well, son, come here. And we go to him and say, what do you want, Father? And he says, you figure it out. No, we come to him and he tells us exactly what his will is and we do it. And we receive the blessings for it and he receives the glory. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Jude 20, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying how? According to some prayer somebody wrote down. No, pray in the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit leads you. The Spirit teaches us our spirit, the will of God, and then helps us to pray for it. Matter of fact, the Spirit will pray for you when you don't even know what to pray for, when you're not able to pray. What kind of loving Father provides that for you? Amen. Thirdly, we see the provision. Give us this day our daily bread. God will supply all our needs, how? According to His riches in glory. Now notice what that verse says. Accordingly. Not out of. A millionaire can give you $1 out of all his riches. But it's not according to what he can do for you, but it's just what he wants you to have. It's out of his riches. It's not according. But God just opens up his stash of stuff in heaven and he just pours it out on you. Every day he meets our needs. He meets our needs. He meets our needs. He meets our needs every day. Father, give us this day our daily bread and everything else that we need to live a life for your glory and your honor. And he does it every single day. God's vast riches in heaven are ours to enjoy. And he gives them to us accordingly, not out of. Fourth, we see the pardon. Forgive us our debts. Aren't you so thankful for forgiveness? I mean, my goodness, folks. When I look back on my life, I can't even remember most of the stuff I've done against the Lord. But I have the assurance and the confidence that he has forgiven every one of them. Amen. My sins are under the blood of Jesus Christ, never to be remembered again. I remember them, but not him. But I still have to ask him for forgiveness, not for salvation. That's settled. That's in Christ, once and for all. But I'm still living in a sinful body. I still do things that I ought not to be doing. And so I have to ask him, forgive me of my sin and my debts. Forgiveness of sin, not just our daily bread. The reason many of people's prayers are not answered is because they do not include confession and repentance in their prayers. Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to be heard by my God. Amen. As soon as I get my notes separated here. James 4:8 says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Until we do that, God will not draw nigh. I'm told that monkeys that live in the South Sea Islands are very desirable for the natives there. And so what the natives do in order to catch these monkeys is they get a bunch of coconuts and they drill a hole in them just big enough for the monkey's hand to slip through. And they put some rice and some honey and nuts and other things inside that coconut, and then they hang them from the trees all around. Well, the monkeys, seeing these things and desiring to have the food inside the coconuts, they'll go to these coconuts and they'll stick their paws in there and grab a handful. But they can't pull it back out. And they're too ignorant, they're too greedy to let go. And so they're hanging there with a paw full of food, but they can't eat it. And the natives come by and they capture them and they skin them and eat them. That's like a lot of Christians. We are too stupid and too prideful to let go of our sins in order to receive the safety and the blessings of God and the security of His presence. Number five, we see protection. Deliver us from evil or the evil one. The devil's desire for you is to sabotage your relationship with God. He hates it when Christians worship God, because he's got a thing against God. But he knows he can't get to God. So he does the next best thing, which is what? He gets or tries to get to his children. One of the worst things anybody can have happen is to have their child kidnapped or molested or harmed by another individual. But that's exactly what the devil tries to do. If you can't get to God, he'll try the very next best thing, which is to get to his children. You hurt my child, you've had it. His real war is with God, but he tries to harm God's loved ones. And our protection here is provided through prayer. Deliver us from evil. It's preventive medicine. It's like taking a pill to keep from getting a disease or an illness. The reason some folks have to keep praying for forgiveness is that they fail to forgive or fail to pray for deliverance. Lord, deliver me every day because I need it. A man was asked to be a scout for a college football coach. And he said, "What kind of player do you want me to look for, coach?" "A guy, when you knock him down, he stands back up. Is that the one you want me to look for?" And he says, "No. But there's another kind of guy that gets knocked down over and over and keeps getting back up. Is that the guy you want, coach?" And he says, "No. I want the guy that can knock everybody else down. And I want a God who can deliver me from the devil who tries to hinder me on a daily basis, who will do anything he can apart from the power of God to deter me and ruin my relationship that I have with my Heavenly Father." Christians need to get off the defense and play some offense. It's time Satan started running from us. Like the pastor says, Jesus 14, the devil 0. Don't you want to be victorious for the Lord? Don't you want to be the one who goes out and knocks everybody down for your coach, your God, your Savior? Finally, we see the last thing, which is praise. Praise. "Thine is the glory forever. Amen." Now, I want you to notice something there in this prayer. It begins with praise and it ends with praise, because praise shows faith. Amen. And if we're going to pray effective prayers and be heard by God, we need to have faith, because without it, it's impossible to please Him. But when we praise His name, praise Him for what He does, praise Him for who He is, praise Him for the help He gives, praise Him for all things, it shows our faith in Him and our dependency upon our Heavenly Father. Praise must be done in faith. It's the best expression of faith there is. Faith, or praise, is faith turned inside out. When we ask God and then praise Him, it shows that we're believing in Him. "Lord, I need this help today, and I really believe you can give it to me. I've gone to so-and-so. I didn't get the answer there. I went to Mom. She really couldn't help me much. So, Father, I come to you in faith, in praise, and ask for your help. And guess what happens? He delivers. He gives us the answer, the petitions that we pray for. Petition says please. Praise says thank you. If your faith is strong, then your prayers will be strong. If they're weak, then your prayers will be weak. Billy Sunday once said, we need to jerk some of the groans out of our prayers and shove in some hallelujahs. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Do you believe that? Do you believe God gives you all the blessings that you enjoy every day? All the help that you need every day to live a life as a Christian for His glory and His honor? You bet He does. When we pray in this manner, we will experience victory through prayer. And we will become a house of prayer and not a den of thieves, robbing ourselves of God's blessing and robbing Him of His glory. Sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet hour of prayer. How's your prayer life? How's your prayer life? I pray it's good.